The Hayes Advantage with Kathleen Hayes and Vonnie Quinn. On demand via our Bloomberg Radio Plus app. Free for iPhone and Android devices.
We want to turn our attention to China now and a potential crisis looming. Larry McDonald joins us. He, of course, of New Edge. He's their US credit, equity and policy strategist, senior director there. He's also the author of A Colossal Failure of Common Sense, which we all remember catalogued the Lehman failure. And, of course, he also writes on lawrencegmcdonald.com, his website, and he can be followed at ConvertBond on Twitter. But Larry McDonald has just written a piece for Forbes asking, can China diffuse its debt bomb? He's been looking at some quote-unquote solid systemic risk indicators, and they haven't been saying very good things about China's leverage. Larry, thanks for joining us on the Ring Central phone line.
Hey, Vonnie. Nice to be with you.
So a debt bomb, that sounds a little bit over the top. Am I really in danger of fallout from a Chinese debt bomb?
Well, in 1995, it didn't matter because China was like less than 8% of global GDP, more like, you know, 3%. Today, China and the emerging markets are 40% of global GDP and about 17% of S&P 500 earnings. So you really have to worry about China today.
All right, so tell us about these indicators then and what they're showing you.
Well, we developed them in my book essentially before Lehman went down. There were many, many indicators. As you're heading toward that iceberg, and it's off in the distance, there's plenty of indicators that were kind of showing warning signs in 2008. And we tracked an index that worked very brilliantly well in 2011. And what we do is we look at the epicenter of risk, which in 2008 it was the U.S., 2011 it was Europe, and 2014-15 it's going to be Asia, China. And what happens is that there's credit spread weakness the closer you are to the epicenter, the closer you are to that jugular vein. And what we're seeing is, for example, big banks in Asia like Standard Charter, their five-year CDS is dramatically underperforming U.S. banks and European banks, and that's because they're closer to the fire.
Those market indicators in China, though, they're slightly different. I mean, you can't rely on them the same way that you rely on U.S. market indicators, right, Larry?
Well, our assumption is that the U.S. market, global GDP, is expected this year around 3.7%. U.S. GDP is expected around close to 3%, maybe 2.5% to 3%. So the point is that this isn't like a Lehman situation where you have a big bank that goes down that shocks the world. This is going to be this is already developing into the fastest growing economy in the world that everybody thinks was growing at 7%. It's really growing at like 2 or 3 or maybe even flat zero growth, and that's the shock.
So Larry, what will happen if the shock hits? I mean, how exposed are, investors, speculators, banks to China's debt? Because it seems to me that what happened with Lehman Brothers, when it collapsed, well, for one thing, we saw what happened to the money market funds, right? Nobody knew how much Lehman paper was in them. And it had so many ramifications. But with China, is its tentacles that extensive?
No, the good news about China is it's like the U.S. banking system in the 1980s. So when Drexel Burnham blew up, or when you had these big continental Illinois, when these banks in the United States blew up in the 80s, it didn't affect countries around the world. But it did affect them economically. So the point is that the earnings, there's such fluff that's in, I would say 200 handles to maybe 300 handles of fluff that's built into the S&P 500. If you do get an earnings shock that China drags down, it will create a downdraft that won't be like a systemic Lehman drop. But you have to remember, the Fed has pumped up equity valuations, and they're really priced for perfection here.
Yeah, investors, I mean, the more sophisticated ones at least, the ones that are looking at China, they kind of know this, don't they, Larry? They know that the Chinese economic data is not the same as, you know, a raft of U.S. economic data or European economic data. They know that companies are different, they're owned differently in China. So, I mean, what would the market fallout be?
It would be more economic fallout. And I think the thing is, there's just a massive credibility problem over there. These companies are massively leveraged. They're using commodities. So imagine if you're a company in the mining space or coal or iron ore. You take your iron ore, your copper, you move it offshore, or you borrow against it offshore in dollars. So because of Yellen and Bernanke, and they've kept interest rates so low, you're able, as a speculator in China over the last year, to borrow at extremely cheap rates relative to the risk in your own economy. In other words, if you're an employer in China or a corporation, you should have to borrow at, say, 7%. But if you take your commodities and borrow against them, you can borrow at 200 to 300 basis points cheaper. That's part of the Fed's kind of credit contagion around the world.
So what about the bond market, the investor sentiment right now, Larry? Do you think, and if you look at currencies, if you look at how markets seem to be positioned, do you think they are positioned correctly? Are people watching the things you're watching? Or are you concerned partly because you think people don't have their focus in the right spot?
Well, that's a great question. Look at the bond market. Look at high yield. So we have default rates at multi-year lows. Everybody's rushed into high yield. Here's an amazing stat. The Merrill Lynch High Yield Bond Index, the MABL, is trading near 105, like 104.9. So picture this number in your mind, 104.9. Since 1985, there's only been 83 days where that index is traded above 105. Okay? So the point is that the U.S. economy and the high-yield bond market, for example, are priced for perfection. So an economic shock from China, if China goes from 7% growth down to zero, the U.S. economy and the earnings and everything that's built in the S&P is not priced for that. And that's the real shock.
So how are you positioned right now? Let's say if we just take the bond market, the government bond market, the benchmark 10-year yield, because that's sort of the fulcrum for, I'm sure, many other trades you might have on right now. Are you priced for a 10-year where the yield is going to drop some more, or are you waiting for a sudden move up in yield, drop in price?
Well, we were on the show at the end of the year. We made a bullish bond call.
You did. We were about 3% then, and you said we were heading for 2.5. We remember.
That's right.
That was good.
I think the China thing, the China crisis, if it really picks up steam, it's going to drive Treasuries to like 2.3. So
really,
yes. Oh my God, yeah. Because there's a lot of people around the world that will be a risk off, so people would want to own Treasuries. Also, you can also buy beat up sectors. The coal space, we still love. Look at uranium stocks. Uranium is an example of a sector that could benefit from China, because if you look at the URA ETF, China has only 17 nuclear power plants. They're going to have to expand that. The dirtiest air in the world. And we believe that they're going to expand that dramatically.
Okay, but that's apart from your debt bomb thesis, right?
Yeah, because that's more of a problem with, even with the debt bomb, the government has to change their air quality. And the only way they can do it, only 2%, oh, listen to this amazing stat, only 2 to 3% of Chinese electricity comes from nuclear power. In France, it's 70%. U.S., it's maybe 18 to 20.
Larry, do you really believe that China's growth is right down as far as 2% or even flat?
I do. I think that in the first quarter, all the data that we're seeing is really shocking, because you've got a massive amount of deleveraging. So what's happening behind the scenes is the central bank in China is trying to punish speculators, and they're trying to punish all these people that have been speculating in the Chinese economy. So they've done these things. So Alan Greenspan once said about China, 13 guys in a room can't plan an economy. That's why you have 16 empty airports in China. That's why you have ghost cities, okay? The great socialist planners of this world, they want to think that like 13 guys in a room can plan out an economy. That doesn't work. And that's manifesting itself into this problem and into this crisis.
All right. Well, Larry McDonald, so you got the 10-year going down to 2.3% potentially. So you're going to buy the 10-year or buy a trade off of that? And what are you selling right now?
Well, we're short the S&P. for a trade here. We don't like the S&P. We're stopping ourselves out at 1880. But below 1880, we want to be short the S&P, and we're long beaten up sectors. We're long coal. We're long the gold miners on this dip. We think the gold miners are a major beneficiary of this crisis.
Well, Larry McDonald, we are a major beneficiary of this conversation with you today. Thanks for joining us from New Edge USA.
The Hayes Advantage, weekdays at 10 a.m. Eastern, in New York on Bloomberg 1130, in Boston on 1200 a.m. and 94.5 FM HD2, or on Sirius XM Satellite Radio Channel 119. Copyright 2013 Bloomberg LP.